Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The New York Phil brings the Star-Spangled Banner to Pyongyang. This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, one of the producers of the show, filling in for John Schaefer. The music you're hearing in the background is from the New York Philharmonic's performance at the East Pyongyang Grand Theater several hours ago. The American national anthem was played in the North Korean capital, along with that country's own anthem, to open this historical performance, the first by a major American cultural organization there. In a moment, we'll get reaction from a violinist who has played in Pyongyang before and from two classical music experts. But Soundcheck host John Schaefer is in North Korea, and I spoke to him earlier today. I started by asking him what the highlight of the concert was.
I would say the end of the concert, after several minutes after the final notes had been played, will be the singular memory that sticks in the minds of both the audience and the members of the orchestra, and I would venture to say even a lot of us who were covering the event in the press corps. What happened was the band did their three main pieces, but they had some encores planned, and they did a kind of a frothy little number by Georges Bizet, and then in sort of a touching tribute to the late Leonard Bernstein, they played the Candide Overture without a conductor. And Lauren Mizell sort of, pointed out how the Philharmonic keeps Bernstein in their collective heart, and they sort of played this with, as he put it, the ghost of Bernstein on the podium. Then their final encore was the traditional Korean song Arirang, which it's hard to describe what Arirang means, to Koreans, because we don't really have a similar song in America, but it's universally beloved on the Korean Peninsula, north, south, doesn't matter. There are different regional variations, but it's a tune that every person in the audience would have known immediately. When they finished, the applause began, and it was long, and it was loud, and Lauren Mizell left the stage, came back, took another bow, flowers were presented, etc., and finally he left. But the audience wasn't done. They kept applauding, and finally, Glenn Dichterow, the concertmaster, had to get the troops up and out of there. So he stood up, and they stood up, and they started filing off. As they did that, members of the audience started waving goodbye, and the musicians start waving back. And you could see that some of them were getting kind of misty-eyed. And sure enough, I ran backstage afterwards, and a couple of the musicians were just literally drying their eyes and were really moved by the kind of show of gratitude. I've never seen anything like it, where the audience sort of waves goodbye to the musicians as they're filing out.
John, tell us who was there. Could you tell if there were North Korean officials in the audience, and what was the makeup of the audience?
The makeup of the audience, I would say, of the 1,400 or 1,500 seats, it's a pretty big theater, I would say, a good 1,000 were North Korean. The Vice Minister of Culture was there, along with, an entourage of sorts. There were several long rows that were reserved for ambassadors and their staffs. Now, we do not have an embassy. We are officially at war with North Korea still, after all these decades. So the Swedish embassy handled all of the guest list stuff, and even the members of the New York Philharmonic board and administration were not sure who was coming and who had been invited.
But there was no Kim Jong-il.
There was no Kim Jong-il. You have to remember, the invitation to the Philharmonic was extended in August at a time when talks on ceasing and dismantling the nuclear weapons program here in North Korea were seen as making steady progress. And in fact, in October, when the Philharmonic decided to accept the invitation, they did so because the State Department thought it would be a good idea. But as we know, North Korea missed the December 31st deadline to do a full and complete report on its program and what steps that were being taken to dismantle it. And so, a relationship that seemed to be thawing has gone icy again. if things had progressed, I think you not only might have seen Kim Jong-il, who is known to be a lover of at least a certain kind of music, you might also have seen some senior Bush administration people like Condoleezza Rice, who was in South Korea yesterday for the installation of the 17th South Korean president, Lee Myung-pak.
We're talking with WNYC's John Schaefer. He's the host of this program, Soundcheck, as well as New Sounds. He's in Pyongyang right now and witnessed the New York Philharmonic's historic performance in North Korea. You're about 14 hours ahead of us right now, John, so I know you haven't had a lot of sleep, but if you can remember and recall, what was the reaction when the Philharmonic played the Star-Spangled Banner?
That's another of the more interesting moments. And as the last notes of the Star-Spangled Banner sort of rang out in the hall, there was a brief, very brief, but discernible moment of uncertainty. This is a group of people who've been taught that we are demons and that we are their enemies. And what was the protocol here? Do you applaud for your arch enemy's national anthem? It was just a brief pause, but then they did decide to applaud.
What was the reaction when the Korean national anthem was played?
The reaction was immediate and almost scary, as, you know, 1,000 people as one, as if choreographed, rose up. It wasn't like, you know, a bunch of Americans standing to attention for our national anthem. I mean, this was like synchronized standing. It was clearly a well-trained group of people who were there.
Let's take a listen to that moment that John's describing in the concert from earlier this morning. This is the New York Philharmonic performing the North Korean national anthem. The New York Philharmonic performing the North Korean national anthem last night in Pyongyang. John Schaefer of Soundcheck and New Sounds here at WNYC is on the phone with us from Pyongyang. He was at the performance last night. John, in all your years of covering classical music and seeing live performances, have you seen anything like this before?
Certainly not the ending or the beginning. You know, as I said before, the brief moment of uncertainty on the part of the audience as to the right response to hearing the national anthem of this other country, and then, of course, the ending, this spontaneous outpouring of gratitude and affection between orchestra and audience. As concerts go, you know, it was not note perfect, but it certainly was spirited. I mean, you have to remember the musicians have been through East Asian tour. They've been in China for about 2.5 weeks. When I met up with them in Beijing, they were already tired. And, they essentially did two concerts today. I mean, one of them is now yesterday because it was early in the day here. It was meant to be a dress rehearsal. Every seat in the house was full. So the dress rehearsal turned into a second concert.
John, you spent the day in Pyongyang yesterday. Where did you go? What did you do?
Wow. Let me see if I can remember. One of the things that we did was we were taken to one of the big state theaters for a performance of North Korean music and dance. This is the sort of thing where you have perhaps a dozen young women dressed in identical long flowing robes, and they're playing the traditional drums. The music tends to be a very kind of light classical fare, and there's been sort of opposite to what we were expecting, there's been ample opportunity and even suggestions that we try and take the opportunity to get out and see Pyongyang. Not necessarily to get out and sort of just start accosting people on the street, but we have been told, you know, that we should get out and see the sights and take pictures, which I think took a lot of us by surprise.
John, as you mentioned earlier, the preparation for the New York Philharmonic's visit to North Korea started back in August, and it's been closely watched in the months since then. Even some controversy and debate has been going on surrounding it, whether it's appropriate for the Philharmonic to go, what their mission should be, and if they're being used as a kind of a pawn in sort of a diplomatic game. You've been watching it this entire time. What do you think about the end result? Now that the concert is over, do you think that the Philharmonic accomplished what it came to do, and what do you think the lasting impact will be?
I would say that the Philharmonic certainly accomplished what they came to do, which was to do a concert that would reach people and that would sort of touch them. And I think anybody who was there at the end saw a successful communication from one group of people to another. The fact that one group came from one country and the other from a very different country became secondary. So I think the Philharmonic has been saying all along, look, we're here to do music. We're not politicians. We're not diplomats. On the other hand, you know, what they have done is not an end to itself. It's a step, and it's a crack in the door. And today we heard that, surprisingly enough, guitarist Eric Clapton has gotten an invitation to come to North Korea. Now, that's even more surprising since rock music here is viewed as like the ultimate in Western degenerate art. And not even art.
Eric Clapton?
Eric Clapton.
What is Eric Clapton going to do in North Korea? Do you know anything about how the invitation was extended or why?
That is the million-dollar question in my mind. Who extended that invitation?
Kim Jong-il may be a huge fan of Slowhand.
Yeah. One never knows. I mean, the guy is apparently an expert on everything.
Well, John, the $2 million question is, will you go back to North Korea with Eric Clapton?
Yeah, maybe I can find my glasses the next time I come back.
How about the New York Philharmonic? Are you getting any whispers of a return visit or future plans in the country?
Nothing definite, other than a couple of brief asides to the effect that, well, you know, maybe won't be the last time, but nothing official, certainly nothing definite. But what we have also heard is that while this isn't exactly reciprocal, the North Korean State Symphony Orchestra is planning on going west to not to the U.S. but to the U.K. That has not been completely confirmed, but you know, I've heard that now from a couple of sources. So you know, that crack in the door may just widen a little bit.
WNYC's John Schaefer coming to us from Pyongyang, North Korea. John, thanks so much for your reports over the past couple of days here on Soundcheck and all over WNYC. We hope you come back safe and sound. We're looking to have you back.
Well, that makes two of us. Thanks, Joel.
Well, a late-breaking update to our conversation there with John Schaefer. North Korea has invited this artist, Eric Clapton, to rock its capital. A spokesman for the country's embassy in London said yesterday, no word yet on whether Slowhand has accepted. Tune in to WNYC tonight at 8 p.m. on 93.9 FM when John Schaefer hosts the New York Philharmonic concert from Pyongyang in its entirety. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Up next on Soundcheck, reactions from around the classical music world to the New York Philharmonic's performance. Stay with us. We're talking about Dvorak diplomacy today on Soundcheck. I'm producer Joel Meyer, sitting in for John Schaefer. And as John was just telling us, the New York Philharmonic's landmark concert was a potentially significant step between Washington and Pyongyang, but it was not the first time American musicians have performed in the Hermit Kingdom. Joining us on the line now is Young Nam Kim, a Korean-born violinist and professor of music at the University of Minnesota. He led a string quartet to North Korea in 2004 and is returning to play this year. Young Nam, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Now, this is not the first time North Koreans have heard Western musicians. How is your experience similar or different to the New York Philharmonic's?
Well, I mean, I cannot compare myself to New York Philharmonic, but I was very emotional to accept an invitation to play at their annual Spring Festival. And the invitation came, actually, was organized by American Friends Service Committee, who were trying to promote, I think they are the organization that promotes world peace.
Okay.
And just a correction, well, I had the piano quintet rather than the string quintet.
Ah.
So we played the piano quintets of Schumann and Shostakovich, and we were called American Group, representing the U.S. in this international festival. I think there were, around, 40 to 50 countries being represented from all corners of the world, and in every venue, probably in Pyongyang. And the venue we played, different than Philharmonic, was it's called Yunisang Hall, named after wonderful Korean composer Yunisang. And it's beautiful, charming music hall, and we thoroughly enjoyed playing there. And we played, repeated the same program four times. And the last one was what they call concerts for dignitaries, where all the foreign dignitaries and high-ranking officials, including the, I heard he was a defense minister who sat through the entire concert. I was so impressed.
Well, that gives me a question. You know, the New York Phil, their visit was, you know, sort of touted as a diplomatic mission, something that could thaw relations between countries. What was the purpose of your trip? You had alluded to that you went under the guise of a peace organization. Was it some kind of diplomatic goal that you were working towards?
Well, I was very thrilled to go back to my birthplace. And secondly, I admired what American Friends Service Committee was trying to do, trying to bridge the gap between the people. And their philosophy I was very happy with, and I was very glad to have that invitation. And it was just most emotional thing.
Well, I'm sure your visit was was very emotional. You were born in North Korea and raised in South Korea.
Right.
Now you're going back in just a month. Right. What do you think will have changed as you return in the wake of the New York Phil's visit?
I'm curious to find that out myself. This time I request them that I'm given a chance to work with the North Korean musicians. And so they said that I can play with Pyongyang Conservatory Orchestra. And they say it's very high-quality musicians in that group. And I said, can I work with them through Vivaldi Four Seasons? And they accepted that. And they also said that they're going to send me a piece of North Korean music that they're asking me to play with their orchestra, which I'm waiting to get.
Well, Young Nam, we'll be very interested to find out an update from you as to how it goes when you return to North Korea in a month. Young Nam Kim is a violinist and professor of music at the University of Minnesota, where he joins us. Young Nam, thanks very much for being on Soundcheck.
Okay, thank you.
Joining us now on the phone is Drew McManus, an orchestra consultant and blogger who runs the website adaptastration.com, and Norman Labrecht, a music critic who writes for London's Evening Standard and blogs on artsjournal.com. Drew and Norman, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Norman, let's start with you. Last week in a column, you wrote that this was, quote, somewhere along the scale between morally inappropriate and aesthetically offensive, end quote, in referring to the New York Philharmonic's performance in North Korea after the concert that happened earlier this morning, local time. Have you changed your mind?
No, actually, I'm even more disturbed after hearing John's fascinating and absolutely intriguing report from Pyongyang. Let's not be deluded by what went on there. Every Korean who was in that audience was either handpicked or approved by the party. Nobody was there casually. Nobody was there just because they were a music lover. They were there because they were part of a state enterprise. This is a totalitarian state. The state itself and its leader Kim will be proclaiming this as a great victory. They will be proclaiming that they have brought the Great American Orchestra into their country. It has been a breach, and it has been achieved by the dear leader himself. And it will be used for their own propaganda purpose. Now, what is North Korea? North Korea is a government which has systematically and as a matter of policy starved and abused its citizens. More than 2 million citizens starved to death over the past 10 years while the state was building its own nuclear weapon and threatening the world with nuclear war. This is what the New York Philharmonic has rather innocently stumbled into in the name of cultural diplomacy. Well, I'm afraid that's not cultural diplomacy. Cultural diplomacy is when a country sets itself apart from its horrendous past and prepares to go on a new path. That's not the case with North Korea at the moment. They still have the nuclear weapons. They are still threatening. They're still sharing nuclear technology with Iran and other rogue states. And the starvation continues. I'm wondering about every mouthful that was eaten by musicians of the New York Philharmonic. Was that food that they brought in with themselves by themselves, or was that taken from diminishing stocks within North Korea? This whole enterprise strikes me as being either seriously misguided.
Let me jump in because you had started off talking about the North Korean people, and let's talk about the North Korean people and sort of the liberating role of the media. One sort of perceived diplomatic victory here is that the performance was broadcast over North Korean TV and radio, in theory, expanding the concert beyond that limited area of party officials and invites from the New York Philharmonic and things like that. Isn't that a victory in the sense that it was shared to a bigger audience?
Well, Joel, you're absolutely right, but I'm sure that neither you nor I understood the Korean commentary, and I'm sure that the Korean commentary was saying this is brought to you by the dear leader and by the party as a sign of the great strides we're making in recognition around the world. This is a rogue state. It's a pariah state. It's a state that has been cut off from the rest of the world, and here, blundering into it, goes the New York Philharmonic to be used as a totem of its regime.
That's the cultural critic and author Norman LaBrèche. Let's bring in orchestra consultant Drew McManus. Drew, do you agree with Norman? Did the New York Phil just hand Kim Jong-il a PR victory?
Well, I think it's a little more beneficial to perhaps look at the situation beyond individuals. I think back to the old Cold War with the Soviet Union, and at the time when cultural exchanges were going on, when Brezhnev was in power, people probably had similar concerns that Norm and other folks are expressing, but Brezhnev's dead, and the connections that have been made since those times live on. And I think those are probably far more valuable when you look at the long tail aspect of the New York Philharmonic's trip. People keep talking about whether or not Kim Il was in attendance, and I really don't care. I think it makes no difference whatsoever who was sitting in the seats, but the fact that those connections can start to be made is a good place to begin building relationships that are going to continue past the current regime.
We're talking with Drew McManus and Norman LaBrèche. We want you to jump in on the conversation as well, too. You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Drew, a few musicians expressed guilt over the fact that there was poverty happening nearby. Is that valid?
I think it would be unusual if they didn't express guilt or some sort of sympathy towards the situation that they have to be exposed to. I don't think you can be put in a situation like that and not have those kind of feelings. But again, you have to start a relationship somewhere. And if you want to let the other side get to such a state where it collapses into utter chaos, I don't see the value in that either. And if a current regime's not going to move in the direction and what I think are some very positive directions that Norm mentioned, then the alternative is to wait for that to happen. So whether the New York brought its own food in or they had to take food that perhaps went from someone else's plate in North Korea, that would be a terrible thing. But it's still good that they were there doing what they did.
Norman, let's move to the repertoire of the concert. There's been a lot of discussion about the past diplomatic concerts that have happened throughout history, the Boston Symphony's visit to the Soviet Union in 1956, the Philadelphia Orchestra's visit to China in 1973. This time around, in Pyongyang, there was Wagner and Dvorak and Gershwin. Any thoughts on what worked and what didn't work?
Well, I think obviously Dvorak and Gershwin work extremely well. But let me just check back on what Drew was saying. It was perfectly legitimate for orchestras and other performing ensembles to go to the Soviet Union under Brezhnev. They didn't go under Stalin. They wouldn't have gone under Stalin. It was perfectly legitimate to go back to Germany after the end of the Second World War. They wouldn't have gone under Hitler. Kim is an unregenerate, totalitarian leader who has been responsible for the deaths of millions of his people. That seems to me at the root of the matter, and that seems to me rather more important than the music that was or that wasn't played at the concert. Yes, of course it was going to be overwhelming for a North Korean audience to hear a North American orchestra. The difference in quality, just to listen to the anthems, the difference in quality to what the brass of the New York Philharmonic were going to bring to their own national anthem was going to shake them out of their socks, obviously, and was going to leave them with a feeling of great aspiration that they ought to be doing better and they ought to be making music at that level as well. But this isn't really about music. For all that the management of the New York Philharmonic and Lorin Maazel pretend that it is about music, it isn't. It's about politics, and it's also about the role of an orchestra, the social role of an orchestra in the 21st century. The New York Philharmonic would like to be perceived as something more than just an organization that makes music. It wants to be something other than the Philharmonic Orchestra, which is perfectly legitimate.
Okay, Norman, let me jump in on you. I want to give Drew a chance to respond there. Is the New York Phil an organization that is about more than just music? Was this not about music?
I hope they're more than just about music. I would like to see not just the New York Phil, but every orchestra in the country be able to travel to anywhere in the world. We should be sending orchestras to Venezuela. We should be sending orchestras to anywhere we can think of, regardless if they're on our friendly list or not. Cutting off any kind of cultural ties with any two people is only going to lead to decades of problems down the road.
Drew, let me just butt in and ask you, what brought down apartheid in South Africa? It was a sporting boycott. It was a sense in South Africa that they were isolated from the rest of the world. When a government commits crimes against its own people, one of the few weapons left in the hands of the rest of the world is boycott. I'm all in favor of cultural diplomacy. I'm all in favor of talking to anyone and everyone. I do believe that Jaw is better than war. But where you have a rogue state and a rogue regime, they have to be treated appropriately. And yes, it is right for the New York Philharmonic to seek a wider role for itself, but it has to seek it wisely and not innocently, as it has done here.
Well, I think if you want to talk about issues relating to boycotts, look how wonderful it's worked in Cuba, which is just off the U.S. coast. But I still think that ultimately the politics only play a small part in it. Although the music was at the center of what I think of what the New York Phil should have been doing in North Korea, let the politicians deal with the politics. The fact that they can go out and play a role in that process is important. It does move them out of being just an organization that presents music. And it reaffirms that they have some cultural relevancy in at least the United States and throughout the rest of the world.
That's Drew McManus. He's an orchestra consultant. He blogs at the website adaptastration.com. We've also been speaking with Norman LaBrush, the cultural critic and assistant editor of the London Evening Standard. We're in our last minute here that we have with you guys. I just want to ask to both of you, we'll start with Norman, what lessons can other cultural organizations learn from Dvorak diplomacy and this whole experience with the New York Philharmonic? Norman, to you.
Proceed with great care. And if Eric Clapton calls me tomorrow morning, that's exactly what I will tell him.
If Eric Clapton invites you to go along with him to North Korea, will you go, Norman?
I'll probably stop off at Beijing and wait till he rejoins me there.
Drew, what do you think? Can other organizations follow the lead of the New York Philharmonic?
Well, I would agree with Norman that they need to proceed with great care, and I would like to add to that that they should proceed with a great big check from the U.S. government to pay for it. I think that would be good, not just for orchestras, but just to show that this country actually likes to spend money on something besides what the rest of the world usually gets to taste.
Drew McManus is an orchestra consultant. He blogs at adaptastration.com, and Norman LaBrecht is a cultural critic and author. He's also the assistant editor of the London Evening Standard. Norman and Drew, great to have you on the show again.
My pleasure.
My pleasure as well.
Make sure that you go to the WNYC Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think of Norman, Drew, and the New York Philharmonic. WNYC's coverage of the New York Philharmonic's visit to Pyongyang is supported in part by the Kaplan Foundation. This is Soundcheck.